Hello everyone. Today is 16th of December 2023. This is we are all gathered here for the 112th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. And we will start the session in a few minutes. I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for the session. And everyone who is logging in via the Facebook live stream from the Satipatthana Foundation, and anyone else who will be listening to our program via the live stream and via the Mixlr later on. So with that note, I would like to invite Venerable Banthe to start the session with the in-session mindfulness. Over to you, Bhante.
Thanks, Sonali. Can you hear me?
Yes, Bhante.
Okay, so today we'll start today's session with a mindful sitting practice. So all of you have to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Gently close your eyes and be aware of your posture. When you do this, you might notice certain things appearing in your field of awareness. Sounds appear, bodily sensations appear, thoughts, memories appear. A variety of things are appearing in your field of awareness. It is easy for your attention to notice the rising of things. The beginning of things you easily notice. The beginning of a new sound. The beginning of a new sensation. The beginning of a new thought. You might easily catch. But it is harder for us to notice the cessation of things, the ending. Sounds end, bodily sensations end, thoughts end. Today we intentionally try to bring our attention to the cessation part. Try to notice how the sounds are disappearing. Can you catch the tail end of it? Try to notice how bodily sensations like breath are disappearing. Try to catch the tail end of it. Try to notice how thoughts are disappearing. Try to catch the ending of a thought. This way, let's try to continue our sitting practice for a few more minutes. Okay, now you can open your eyes again. So you might have your own observation based on the practice that we have done. So if you are willing, you can share it during the discussion part. And with that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next item in the agenda is the talk by Venerable Bhante. Today's topic is quantum physics. It's a bit of a deep topic we don't understand. So with that, I'll invite Venerable Bhante to start the talk on quantum physics. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. We have some time to discuss today's topic. We are moving into a new topic today, which is quite interesting, which involves some scientific parts, as well as the usual practice of mindfulness. So we'll try and see how we can link these two together and how it is very much related to the meditation practice that we are doing. Now, in the world, when we deal with the world, it is natural that we feel that this is a physical world. We touch things, we feel things, we experience things. So when we deal with such things, we get a feeling that this is more like physical. The material things are there. In that physical world, we talk about, you know, various laws, physics, those discussions that we have, right? But when it comes to the scientific discoveries in the last century or so, we tend to realize some other part in this reality. It came up with the invention of the light bulb. With that, they have realized certain things that are supposed to be particles are acting like waves, energy. Certain things that are supposed to be energy are acting like particles. So that discovery was there in the scientific world. And with that discovery, when they research those details, when they research those data more and more, they come to a weird conclusion. The conclusion was that it's the observer's mind that'll define the observation. Of course, there's a potential in the surrounding environment, but the mind is the forerunner. The observer's mind is a important factor in deciding the reality or experiencing the reality. So one person will experience something in a certain way, while another person will experience the same thing in a different way. So that was proven. The discovery is there in the quantum science, quantum physics, right? So that very much related to the meditation practice. Meditation practice, when you practice mindfulness, in a way like today's sitting practice, we can easily see how the things are appearing in our field of awareness. Let it be sounds, let it be certain bodily sensations, thoughts, memories. These things are appearing in our field of awareness. Once they appear, we catch them, we hold on to them. Let's say a thought appears, we hold on to it and we create a story in our mind. Storytelling happens. Let's say a sound appears, we hold on to it and we think about the person who made this sound. So that way, in our mind, we see certain things are appearing in our field of awareness. That's a usual, that's a natural observation for a mindful practitioner. So this is how we start. We say, okay, you catch your breath, you catch your surrounding sounds, and try to observe them. Catch your steps while walking, that sensation, try to observe it. So let's say you hold on to your breath and you try to observe your breath more and more. You catch your sensations, walking sensations, and try to observe them more and more. So that way you do your meditation practice. You try to progress in your meditation practice, not just once, not just twice. When we say observe your breath, we mean thousands and thousands of times you simply observe your breath, not just once. When we say observe your steps, we say thousands and thousands of times you observe your steps, the sensations. So that way, when you continue with your observation, naturally you feel the breath is changing or the breath is disappearing. This happens naturally. Whatever the object that you hold on to, if you keep observing it, if you keep your attention with that same object, you realize that object is disappearing. This happens in our mind. Naturally, it happens in our mind. So that is the very practice we are doing. We start with the known part. Let's say the sounds that you hear, they are known to you. Let's say the breath that you feel, it is known to you. Let's say the walking sensations, they are known to you. So we start with the known part that we know, right? The breath we know, the sounds we know. So we start there. But when you continue your observation, naturally your attention goes to the unknown. That's what happens when at the ending of the breath, when the breath ceases, you are dragged into the unknown. When the sounds disappear, you are dragged into the unknown. Or we can say when the sounds disappear, you are dragged into the silence. When the thoughts disappear, you are dragged into the unknown. So this is the meditation practice. We start with the known part, the breath we know. We start observing the known part. Naturally, your meditation will lead you into the unknown. That is the ending of a breath. That is the ending of a thought. That is the ending of a sound. It's really hard to catch that ending part. The cessation part, it's really hard to catch. Usually what happens is that our mind jumps into a fresh object. Something new our mind will catch. We won't be able to see the ending, the cessation part. It's really difficult to see. So that's the very practice that we did today. Instead of noticing the arising part, which is much easier, we try to notice the ceasing part, the cessation of things. Let it be sounds, let it be bodily sensations, let it be thoughts. We try to catch the cessation part. And in your practice, maybe you have noticed that it is really difficult to catch the ending part. Easily you are distracted. Easily your attention goes to something else. Right? So it's natural that it is difficult to catch. But when we do our repetitive practice, we can feel that gradually we are becoming more and more comfortable with the unknown. Even little children, when they share their meditation experience, they share these things. We use that singing bowl to teach these things to them. We tell them, okay, I'll make a sound with this singing bowl and you'll hear a loud sound. But gradually it'll reduce and it'll become very difficult to hear. You have to catch the sound till it ends. That's the idea, that's the practice that we tell them. And when they do it, they come and say, at the ending, I felt like my mind is going deep into it. I felt like it is a bottomless pit. Right? So this way, even the children, they experience how your mind is dragged into the unknown. You start with the known part, gradually it goes to the unknown part. You start to see this unknown part more and more, you start to become more and more comfortable with it. That's the idea. That's the idea of repetitive practice. If you do just for a day, you won't be so much comfortable observing it. But when you do it again and again, repetitively, when you do your daily practice, when you continue for a few months, then you start to realize gradually your attention is dragged into the unknown. That's the very idea of meditation. We start with the known things and gradually we go into the unknown. We start with the things that we feel. Gradually we go into the things that we don't feel. So that way we continue our practice. So when this unknown, when your attention is with the unknown, you realize there's no form there. There's no material form there. Instead, it feels more like energy. Right? So that's the scientific part. Now we start with the physical object or a physical sensation. But gradually, it goes into this energy type of experience. Even it happens to your body. Some people say, my body disappears. When I meditate, I can't feel my body. When I meditate, I can't feel my breath. Is it truly disappearing? They are asking. I touch my body and see, I can feel my body. But still, the body sensations are not there. So that way, you start with this material form and gradually your attention is dragged into the energy field. So this way, the meditator, they are experiencing the reality. The reality, in order to explain the reality, you need both wave and the particle. The physical form should be there, then the energy should be there. With both, you can explain the reality. If you say only the physical things are there, that is not true. If you say only the waveforms are there, that is not true. Time to time, it is becoming a wave. Time to time, it is becoming a particle. So this is the very experience that we are having in our meditation. In a way, we start as worldly beings. When we are holding on to this material form, we are worldly. We are pleasure seekers. We work. We go after certain pleasures. We deal with other people. We fight. We cry. This is the world that we live in. So all of us, we start as worldly people. Right? But in meditation, gradually, you become, or just for tiny moments, you become enlightened. Just for tiny moments, we say satori, tiny moments of enlightenment. You become enlightened. Instead of this material form, you start to see, you start to feel the energy part. How vast this wave form is. How vast this energy form is. Compared to the material form, you start to see the scale of the wave. You start to see the scale of the energy. So this is what happens to a meditator. They start thinking that everything is real. Everything is solid. The attention is tightly holded onto the particles, the material form. But when they meditate, they start to experience the wave form, the energy part. Then they realize, although I was holding on to the particles earlier, the reality is much vast. The reality is a combination of these two. That very experience you are having. When you see the scale of the reality, or when you see the scale of energy compared to the material form, it is much easier for your mind to let go of things. Because you know how tiny this material form is. You know how tiny these problems are compared to the reality. That experience you have to have. Then only your mind will start letting go. Otherwise, your mind is tightly holding on to the material forms, the problems, the sensations, the memories. All those things are tightly held in our mind. That is the worldly mind that we are talking about. But when we meditate, when we start to experience the vastness of this energy field, when we start to experience the true reality, then it is much easier for your mind to let go. In a way, the letting go is not intentional in this type of a mind. Instead, it naturally lets go because it knows the scale of the material form. This is the very practice that we are doing. I remember a few weeks ago, somebody was sharing, maybe a teenager, sharing their experience about mindful practice. So that experience is very much related to our talk today. That person was saying, I was traveling in a bus and I could feel there was a attractive boy or a girl in the bus. Then I have this in my mind, I have this craving to look in that direction. I have a craving to observe that person again and again. That need is there in my mind, that some kind of a craving is there in my mind. So I felt sometimes intentionally I try not to look, but unintentionally my mind is trying to look that way and trying to fulfill this craving, trying to fulfill this need. Just by observing that person, I feel happy. Just by looking at that direction, I feel happy. So this experience, that person, the teenager, was sharing. And in the same report, there were some other details. Compared to this incident, I observed certain other things as well. I can hear a variety of noises from the background. It was a rainy day. The bus was moving. I could hear the sounds of the engine. I could hear the rain. I could hear the noises that are people making. So vast amount of noises are there. In addition, I can feel my body is seated. So many bodily sensations are there in my body. I can feel my breath. I can feel the coolness from the rain. I can feel wind touching my skin. So bodily sensations are also there. Then I can feel certain things with my eyes. I see the surrounding. I see so many other people in the bus. And the thoughts are also there, apart from this need to look at that person. Apart from that thought, some other thoughts are also there in my mind. So this person is trying to, in a way, trying to explain the true reality, the scale of it. Usually our attention goes to that craving, the lust. Our attention is caught there. We see that person, we say, okay, attractive person, I need to look. That we easily notice. But for the mindful practitioner, they start to see the background as well. When you see the background, it is much easier for you to realize the comparison, the scale of these things. Of course, that need is there. Of course, that craving is there. But compared to that craving, how about the other things? They are so vast. So many sounds are there, so many bodily sensations are there, so many other sights are there, so many thoughts are there. So that's the, in a way, that's the reality. What happens most of the time, what happens in our mind is that we don't notice majority of these things. We avoid, we skip so many sounds, thousands and thousands of sounds we skip, and we hold on to one sound. Thousands and thousands of bodily sensations we skip, and we hold on to one bodily sensation. Thousands and thousands of sights we skip, and we hold on to a single sight, attractive person. Thousands and thousands of thoughts we skip, and we hold on to a single thought, lust. That's what happens most of the time in our mind. That's what happens. You think that your eyes are allowing you to see the surrounding. But in a way, your eyes are making you blind as well. Why? When you see thousands and thousands of sights, your attention will only go to a single sight, single person. All the other things are ignored in the process. So it is more accurate to say that your eyes are blinding you. They are not allowing you to see. Instead, majority of the time, you are blind. You are ignoring most of the sights that you see. In a way, it's true to say that your ears are making you deaf. Why? Because you skip so many sounds, you ignore so many sounds, you hold on to a single sound in between them. The body allows you to feel, you would say, but it is more accurate to say that the body allows you to be numb. Or body allows you to, you know, be unconscious. Because so many sensations are ignored in the process. That's why most people, they will come and complain, I have a toothache. That complaint we usually hear. But how about the sensations before? Did somebody come and tell that I have 32 teeth and they are perfectly fine? Nothing is aching, nothing is hurting. Have you ever heard that comment? No. Right? So for years, for months, the teeth, they were fine. But once when one starts hurting, you come and complain. So do you see how many bodily sensations that we have been ignoring in the process? So this is happening again and again. So in a way, our eyes are blinding us. Our ears are making us deaf. Our body is more like, you know, unconscious. So this process is happening. But the meditator, they start to see the scale of it. Those sounds that we ignored, those bodily sensations that we ignored, those thoughts that we ignored, they only remained in the energy form. They haven't become particles. Only when our attention goes there, it becomes a particle. It becomes a sensation. It becomes an experience. If your attention doesn't go there, then it's just energy. One person might come and say, I heard this sound. Somebody else might come and say, no, no, that sound wasn't there. Both are true. Because it's based on their experience. So in a way, you start to see the real scale of things. Our mind, most of the time, ignores this waveform, the energy part. So many sounds are ignored in our mind. So many sights are ignored in our mind. So many bodily sensations are ignored in our mind. This process is happening. But we come and say, I saw things, I heard things, I felt things. You come and say. But the meditator, they start to see the true nature of reality. That part you have to see. How vast the sounds that we ignore while noticing a single sound. How vast the bodily sensations that we ignore while noticing our breath. How vast the thoughts that we ignore while holding on to lust. That comparison, that scale, you have to experience. When you start to experience that scale, those things, they become less valued. The lust, it becomes less valued. The problems, they become less valued. Because now you know the real scale of things. Now you know the real comparison of things. That experience is very much valuable for a meditator. So that child, that person is sharing their experience, saying the lust is there, this craving is there. But in the background, so many other things are also there. I see the scale between two. I see the scale of the lust. I see the scale of the other things. When I see the real scale of other things, this lust, it doesn't matter anymore. Because now you have a much better view of the reality. So that is the important part. We are not asking you to get rid of the lust. That request we won't make. Instead, what we are saying, see the real comparison. See the real scale of things. When you see how vast the sounds that are ignored, when you see how vast the sights that are ignored, when you see how vast the sensations that are ignored, the things that you notice, they don't matter that much. That's the very idea of meditation. So you start to see the true nature of the reality. Most of the time, these things are in energy form. Our attention doesn't go there, so they don't convert, they don't become a particle. Once in a while only, our attention goes to something. Once in a while only, we start to feel or experience things. And you start a story about that experience you had. But in reality, you have to see the real comparison, real scale of things. When you see that comparison, in a way, the problems, they become less valued. They don't matter anymore. Your mind easily lets go. So this is the very idea of the practice. You initially thought that you are 100% particle or you are 100% worldly. That's your initial thought. But now you start to realize, I am already enlightened. Because 99.99% of the time, it's all energy. It's all energy. When you experience that scale, you realize for those sounds, thousands and thousands of sounds that are ignored, I am already enlightened. For those bodily sensations, thousands and thousands of bodily sensations that are ignored, I am already enlightened. For those sights that are ignored, I am already enlightened. For those thoughts that are ignored, I am already enlightened. Only once in a while you become worldly. Only once in a while you catch a sight. Only once in a while you catch a sound. Only once in a while you catch a thought. But our problem is that we always talk about the one that we caught. We talk about the problems that we have because our attention went there. We talk about the sights that we saw because our attention went there. We talk about the sounds that we heard because our attention went there. So usually you talked about the worldly part only. But the meditator, they start to see the enlightened part. And when they see it, the worldly part, it doesn't matter anymore. They become a mute, right? So for Arahant, it says, you know, a mute. They might not tell anything, but they are fully alert. They know what is happening. They know what you do, but still they are comfortable in your mind. They know these things, they don't matter that much. That very comparison they have in their mind. So in a way, you are already enlightened. Most of the time you are enlightened, but your problem is that you don't know that you are enlightened. You don't experience that you are enlightened. You don't experience the energy part in your mind. So that's why you meditate. You meditate in order to realize that you are already enlightened. You meditate in order to realize that the energy is vast, not the particle form. That very experience the meditator will have, and they start to see the lust is there. My attention really went to that meditation report. The lust is there. It started with the lust. This craving is there. I wanted to feel it. But then I saw the fabric of it. Then I saw the sounds that I am ignoring. Then I saw the sights that I am ignoring. Then I saw the sensations that I am ignoring. When I see the scale of them, the lust, it doesn't matter anymore. So in a way, let's say an arahant, right, when they become enlightened, still they might have that worldly part. But it doesn't matter anymore because they know how vast the enlightened part is. That very realization they have. Right, so we are moving back and forth between the science and meditation because it is very much related. The science has come to a conclusion, which is the starting point of meditation. So with that, I am concluding today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Pante, on that very useful topic. Very unclear topic for myself, I'm sure for others as well. With that, with the next item in the agenda is the question and answers and a reading of the report. I will hand over to Arosha to start that session.
Thank you very much, Sonali. With your permission, Bhante, we have one report to hear today. The first report begins, sitting meditation, watched breath as primary object, sleepy even before sitting, but made determination to sit at the regular time as wanted to send report. Thoughts noted to be short, mind returning to breath. Colder in and warmer out breaths, sometimes more prominent in one and than the other nostril. Waves of cold sensation passing through body. Images appeared and passed, as did sounds, neither distracting. Mind calm, sat 45 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Watching mind more often, catching thoughts at the beginning and seeing some of them pass. Watching changes in posture when sitting, lying down, and standing. When walking, mind more often watching changes in feet. Noting changes in temperature in parts of body. Mind calm even in times of being busy, as mostly staying with body or mind. Noting the reluctance to sit for formal meditation and preference to do formal walking meditation or watching constant changes in mind and body. Discomfort and pain observed to arise and pass. With much merit to Bhante and organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Now you can see you sit for 45 minutes, but you don't have much to say. That is the very idea of our today's session. You experience a lot of things, but you only noticed, your attention only went to few things. You remembered only few things. For example, that sleepy part you remembered. Certain other details you remembered. Why? Because your attention went there. But rest of the time, how many things you have experienced? How vast that experience was? You are totally peaceful. You are totally enlightened to that part. So that is the very idea of meditation. Usually when we start, we are long reports are there. Most of the time complaints. That's the issue. Right? For a beginner, you can really see the complaining part. They are complaining about their sicknesses. They give details about their operation. So many details are there. Then the family problems. They give details about those things. It's fine. We are listening. But still, that's not the important part. You start there. When you start, you are worldly. But gradually, naturally, your attention goes to the enlightened part. When your attention goes there, the world, it doesn't matter anymore. That is the very idea. That is the very idea. So most of the meditators, they when they mature in their practice, they sit for 45 minutes. But they are not noticing much. They are not feeling much. They know they were mindful. They know they were sitting. But nothing to mention, Bhante. That's the idea they are giving. So in a way, that's good. That's good. Even your daily life, you might feel that the time is flying. That you might experience. Now, it is the end of 2023. A new year is approaching. For a miserable person, this year would be a very long, long year. For a peaceful person, it goes flying. Right? So the time you are experiencing based on the status of your mind. That's the thing. Let's say one night you have a family problem, you have an issue, you are miserable. How hard is it to spend the night? You are restless, you try to sleep, you take sleeping pills, still you can't sleep. You think now it must be like 1 a.m. in the morning. You check your time and it is only 11 in night. So it might feel like a whole week, that single night Why? Because you are restless. Why? Because you are miserable. Let's say happy times, they fly. You feel like, you know, it's like a dream. I didn't even experience the full thing because I was happy, I was peaceful. So in a way, we are experiencing the time compared to the status of our mind. That's how we experience the time. That's why when the people are miserable, the time stands still. When they are peaceful, the time flies. That happens. You can experience in your own life, when you are miserable, the time is standing still. When you are peaceful, the time flies. So think about year 2023. Maybe it was a long, long year. Maybe it was a short one. Right? So that's why we say the blinkered and sinful, they are forced to live a long, long life. The enlightened and blissful, they are fortunate enough to die. That's the very idea of the practice. Now, if you are sinful and blinkered, of course, you'll have a long, long life. If you are enlightened and wholesome, you are blessed enough or fortunate enough to die. The practice will allow you to end this. That's the very idea. The practice will make your life shorter. When I say it will make your life shorter, most of you will not agree. You might, you know, select the other one. A long, long, miserable life. You might vote for that. That's up to you. But still, the meditator, they feel that life is becoming lighter and lighter, more and more incremental levels of peace. And the time flies. Those are great signs that the practice is working. If you are miserable, the time stands still. So you can see how the mind works, how we experience time based on the status of our mind. That's the very idea. So thank you for sharing. When you continue in future, when you practice more and more, it'll go faster and faster, and you'll have less and less things to complain about. That's the very idea.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that guidance and reflection. And thank you to our participant who shared a report. And we'd like to encourage everyone to make use of this unique opportunity we have to come together and practice mindfulness and share our experiences to learn from each other and benefit from Bhante's invaluable guidance. So now we come to the stage of our program where we have a reminder for those who are regular participants, but a guide for those who are new to this program on how to get started and keep going with our mindfulness practice. So the starting point is to get some basic guidance and instruction on mindful walking and sitting practice. And you can do this by watching these two videos that have been prepared by the Satipatthana Foundation. So there are two videos, one on mindful walking and one on mindful sitting. There's recommendation to actually start with mindful walking and then transition to mindful sitting. And having watched these videos, you should allocate some time every day to start practicing mindfulness, doing some walking and sitting practice, and continue developing in this training for a few days until you feel comfortable and able to complete at least 2 hours of each practice in total. So across those days that you practice at least 2 hours of mindful walking and 2 hours of mindful sitting. And then based on this experience, you can write a report reflecting on how that practice was experienced by yourself. And you can also include that as with questions about your practice or just reporting as a statement. So if you organize the report into a mindful walking and mindful sitting, that would be helpful. And you should describe what you felt while walking and sitting, what you recognized as your walking and sitting posture through your mindfulness practice. You can describe the prominent sensations that you felt, like the texture of the ground, the feeling of pressure on the soles of your feet, how your body weight shifted from one leg to another as part of your mindful walking practice. And for sitting practice, you can also look at other prominent sensations like where you felt pressure on your body, the sensations relating to the incoming and outgoing breath at your nostrils, raising and falling of the abdomen, and so on. Once you've written this report, please send it to us using either the Google form that's linked here or emailing us at beginnersnv@gmail.com. And as you've heard today, the reports will be read out anonymously for Banthe to respond to. And then please continue the practice according to the advice given during the session. And also you can access recordings of past sessions at the link provided at the end of the slide on the screen now. So that concludes the guide for participating in this program. And we hope that helps you both establish and continue your participation with us. And we look forward to seeing you each week and hopefully hearing from you through the reports as well. With that, we come to the stage of inviting you to ask any questions that you have here based on your practice or what you've heard during the session today, either Banthe's talk earlier or the reflections and guidance to the report, or anything else relating to mindfulness practice that you would like to ask. So if you'd like to ask a question, please raise your hand in Zoom and I can invite you to ask that question, or you could put it into the chat and I will read it out for Banthe. While we're waiting for someone to think of a question, Banthe, with your permission, I will ask, well, share maybe a bit of a reflection, but also a question relating to your talk, which I found very interesting, and particularly that phenomena that I've also experienced of picking out the unusual, noticeable thing, or the thing we notice from, I notice from the background of everything else that's happening. I'm sure you may have heard this, and others may have heard this story that Achan Brahmavamsa relates about the imperfect bricks in the wall that he built. So he, when he was establishing his monastery, he built a wall, and he was learning to do it while doing it. And at one point, he realized he wasn't doing it right, and he took it down and built it again. And eventually he built the wall, but there were two bricks which were not quite aligned. And irrespective of how many people praised him on the wall, he would always notice those two bricks, and he kind of points that out. And I have, you know, similar experience of how, I mean, looking back even on a year, sometimes, you know, irrespective of lots of, you know, good days where good things happened, the bad experiences can become prominent and kind of more noticeable. And part of me wonders why that is, why the brain kind of works that way, to notice the unusual rather than accept and see it in context of the broader reality. And that's what your talk kind of highlighted, the importance of seeing that bigger picture, not losing sight of the bigger picture of experience. But I wonder, Bhante, whether you had any thoughts on why is it that the unusual, whether it's positive or negative, becomes more prominent for us.
Right. So as you mentioned, now most of the time our attention goes to those things like the imperfect bricks on the wall. They caught our attention. Every time you look, you'll see that. But there are so many things that went all right. But we are just, ignoring those things while noticing the bad or the difficulty in our life. So that's what happens to us most of the time. That's why people complain a lot. They complain. They have so many complaints. They complain about their family members. They complain about their co-workers. They complain about their friends. Whatever they have done, they don't remember. They only remember the bad ones, bad memories. Right? So that way we are creating a mess in our life because we always pick those ones. We don't recall the good ones, good memories, but we only recall the bad ones. So that's what happens. I would say our mind is not mindful enough to see the larger picture, especially those neutral sensations, positive and negative, of course. As you mentioned, we notice, but the neutral ones are vast. We are ignoring these things. We don't even think they are important. Our attention never goes there. So in order to experience these neutral sensations, experiences, you have to have a more mindful mind, I would say. It is not caught in a single sensation. It is not caught in a single experience. Instead, it is able to observe as a bystander, as a third-party person, it is able to observe. That very ability is rare. That very ability we have to develop. Otherwise, we have trained our mind to catch the negative and the positive things. That's the training that we have. We don't have that neutral type of a training. Instead, we have only the positive, negative, especially the negative ones. That's part of the survival. The negative ones you have to notice. Negatively biased. Our minds are negatively biased, maybe from the evolution. In order to survive, you have to notice the negative ones. Right? That part is there in us. So it is natural that we notice these things. So that's why we say the practice or meditation, the mindfulness, it is the remaining part of our evolution. We are truly trying to become Homo sapiens sapiens. Not only we know, but we know that we know. That's sapient twice.
Yes, but
that ability we have to develop, that viewpoint we have to develop. That's why we encourage the repetitive practice. With the repetitive practice, we can really develop this ability. Yesterday, we did a program or session to top-ranking military officers, three forces and police. They were the top-ranking officers, but still, they were having so many issues, they are not happy. They are not happy. They have stress. They have certain bad memories. They have problems about their promotions. So many things are there. So you can feel that they are not happy. So if they pay attention to the good things, they might have so many things to think about. But still, they don't have that ability. So we have to develop it. Gradually we have to develop. Little by little we have to develop. Instead of noticing only the imperfect ones, the bad ones, can we see the bigger picture? That attitude you have to develop in your mind, it's more like openness. Without, you know, jumping into conclusions, without holding on to a single object, we start to see the bigger picture. That's the very idea of that meditation report I shared during the talk. That teenager was saying that I could feel the lust. I could feel that craving. If that person only paid attention to that lust, what will happen? So many things could go wrong, right? When you read the newspapers, you hear the stories. Because they have only noticed the lust. They have only noticed that craving. It is natural that you have lust. It is natural that you have that craving. But see the real vastness of the other things. The comparison is the important part. In order to see that comparison, your mind should be, you know, more open, more mindful, so you could see the bigger picture. Otherwise, we'll always complain. Otherwise, we'll always pick lust. But if we have that broader view in our mind, then we'll see the lust is there. But the other things, so many things are there. They are more like neutral. Nobody pays attention to the rain while there's lust in their mind. Nobody notices the bodily sensations or the sounds while there is lust in their mind. But that broader view is there in that person's mind. That's why they are sharing it. That's why they are saying it. So that's the very idea. You have to train it. You have to develop it. This mind is negatively biased. That we have to accept. That is true. That is the worldly mind. But gradually we can develop that openness in our mind. It will start to see the broader picture. The troubles, of course, it notices, but it will see the broader picture. That is the very idea. So continue with the practice and you'll start to see the other bricks on the wall.
Thank you, Bhante. We have two raise hands and questions, so I'll invite
us. I seem to be tired waiting.
I think Samantha put her hand up first, so with permission, I'll go to Samantha first and then Rajika. So Samantha, please go ahead.
Thank you, Arosha. Thank you, Bhante. That talk was really interesting, and it confused me and gave a more, I don't really know how to put my question now. It's just the mind. I mean, for me, obviously I didn't really understand the full concept of everything about the wave and the particle forms and everything, but just from my the current, you know, I mean, what I've experienced is that I find the mind is, even though I need the mind, the consciousness, it's also a big problem for me. Well, because it's just like, it gives a lot of, it's just jumping from one thing to another. And obviously, you know, because of lack of practice, and you know, when you're in meditative state, it's more peaceful and it's nice. But obviously, you know, you need to, I suppose. I think Bhante sort of alluded to the answer a little bit earlier on, saying that the mindfulness is the key. The mind just goes crazy. There's the inner chatter. That's what that really, you know, the issue, and it's always jumping from one topic to another without having that gap, that inner peace in between. So sometimes it's nice to sort of have a mind without any thoughts, but is that possible? And that inner chatter? And is that only possible if one is only mindful, you know, being in the present moment? Is that the art, you know, how to be in a peaceful way? I mean, does the mind, the consciousness need to have an object each time to cling on to something I hope that makes sense. And also, it's a bit abstract, all these questions, because everything just popped into my head. And also, I feel that there is the consciousness in the background, the six consciousnesses from my six senses is there, obviously, as part of a human being. But I also feel there's another separate observer with the defilements, based on my own defilements, the greed and the hatred, I react to all these things, whatever's coming up. It's all a bit muddled in my question. Does that help make sense, Bhante? I'm just wondering what this consciousness is doing, you know. Is it just best to be forget thinking and just be mindful in the present moment, one object, you know, at a time? Is that what the goal is? Thank you, Bhante.
You are clearly confused. So that's a good
yes.
sign. That's a good sign. That's the very idea of, you know, our practice. If you are confused, you might look into some solution, some answer. Otherwise, if you are comfortable in your mind, you might not look, right? So it is natural that when we observe, so many questions arise. Now, in your comment, you mentioned something that the meditation is about quieting the mind, getting rid of the thoughts. That's not true. That's not the idea we are giving. Instead, it will start to see the vastness of the reality. It will start to see so many things are there. It's like a giant flux of things. Again and again flowing without stopping. That flux you are observing, you are noticing. That is the very idea of the meditation. And don't go, you know, don't start counting the consciousness. If you start that, then you see six senses are there, six sense consciousness are there. That's book learning. In addition, there is another observer. In addition, there is another one, defilements. So many things you can count. It'll be a never-ending process. Instead, simply observe. Then this counting consciousness is also there, no? Right? Six senses. Then the defilements, who is counting? Then there's another one, right? So many things. So that's the mind. That's the mind. So that's why we suggest don't, you know, try to analyze those things. Instead, simply be the observer. Don't try to judge. Simply be the observer. Sometimes when you be the observer, sometimes you can see that the mind is calm. Hold on,
until you became muted.
Sorry, I wanted to take this mind jar, right? So sometimes when you observe, hold on, I had to remove the filter. I can't find how to remove the filter.
Near the video button, there's a little up arrow. If you click that, the menu shows blur my background. Ticked, and if you untick that.
Okay, so this is the mind jar, right? So when, let's say, sometimes when you meditate, you can see it is clear, it is settled. Sometimes it is not, it is cloudy. Right? So the beginner, they like the settled one. They don't like the cloudy part. That's usual for a beginner. But what we are suggesting is that when you mature in your practice, even the cloudy part, you are able to see through. You know the bottle is cloudy, but you are not cloudy because you see through the cloud. You know that the clear water is still there. Although the dust is covering it, the clear water is still there. And you wait for a while, then you start to see the clear water. Now, in your comment, you mentioned that the cloudy part is not good. The clear part is good. But that's not what we think of. When we practice in meditation, we start to see both equally. Sometimes the mind is calm. Sometimes it is all over the place. It goes crazy. Can we value both of them equally? In order for you to value both of them equally, you have to practice again and again. We have to have that broader view on the reality. When you have that, gradually you start to see that the things are there, but your mind is not moved. Right? So that's the very idea. Try to develop that ability. You might notice so many things, but can you be the observer? That's the question I'm asking. The thoughts, so many thoughts are there. It's all over the place. It goes crazy. Can you be the observer? If you start suppressing that part, then it is not healthy. Even most of the meditators, they have this problem. They start suppressing that crowded part, that crazy part, or the where the mind is all over the place. That part they start to suppress. In that process, in the same process, they develop an additional problem because they are suppressing that part of the mind. But we are not recommending that. Mindfulness sometimes will be comfortable, sometimes it will be clearer, but sometimes it will be cloudy. Can you accept both of them? That's the question. If you can't accept, you have to meditate for a long time. Then the mind will gradually start to accept it.
That's what I was thinking of, Bhante. I mean, like, just generally mindfulness. Sometimes, like, if after a retreat, like, by focusing on one object, like the breath, I find that when the mind is calmer, all sorts of, you know, whatever's going on in the situation, I can observe and stay, you know, not be perturbed by all what's going on. I can have a calm sense of mind, but anything can come in and out into the mind. But whereas if you're unmindful, if you're lack of concentration, samadhi, for example, then everything is just like, oh, it gives you a headache when I haven't meditated, and it's too much to take in. And you just like that, the mind is always just cloudy, and that's what I meant. I was thinking like, it's nice to be to have that strength, I suppose. Basically, what it is would be one thing I need to increase, obviously, my concentration as well by focusing on one object, in my case, the breath, and that will go along side by side with increasing my mindfulness for a calmer mind. That'd be helpful progressing onwards.
So that you can sometimes observe. It will be helpful. Sometimes you can't. What to do? Right? So certain times it might be difficult. So you might have to go for a walk or maybe exercise. Those tools you can use. But gradually, with continuous practice, you are able to have that strength more and more.
And manage it. Yeah. Okay. And also maybe just being in the present. Because I find it calmer if I'm just focusing on one task at a time. So maybe that's what mindfulness is, and being in the present moment. So rather than having lots of everything going on and then getting a cloudy mind, would that be also helpful?
I don't understand that question.
Like say, oh, sorry, I don't mean to take too much time, but just quickly, I'll just say, like, say, like, just in daily living, there's so many things. The mind is also, you know, thinking thoughts of the past, present, future, everything. So to avoid that, it would be better if I'm just sort of mindful in exactly what it is at the moment, in the present moment. So that's enough. Is that the best way to keep stay calm in the situation, being present in the present moment to moment?
I think it's better to practice and share your meditation experience instead of trying to, you know, compose questions here from different angles. That would be more helpful for you as well as the audience.
Okay. Thank
yeah,
you,
try to try to share the experience, your meditation experience as walking and sitting. I've been telling you this for a long time. So try and see. That would be the proper approach. Otherwise, I can answer 101 questions. But still, it won't give you help. You need the practice, the formal practice. With the practice only, these questions will go away. Otherwise, answering questions, it's in a way, it's destructive because that we are encouraging so many questions. So try and see how can you support the practice more and more and share that part.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you, Bhante, and thank you, Samantha. We are at the usual time where we draw things to a close, but I don't know if we have, I know Rajika had a hand up earlier.
That's fine. We will take a few minutes for Rajika. Otherwise, we won't have the Zoom session next time.
Go ahead, Rajika.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It doesn't matter, even though I didn't get time, I still let you to use the Zoom and the program you go on. I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment with what Arosha mentioned earlier with his the statement or the question. I think I would be the best example about that, looking at the two wrong breaks. If like I know the Loka Swaminase as well as Kusura Swaminase always comment on me with my behavior. I always pass all the beautiful flower garden and always go and find the garbage. I feel like I trained my mind for a long time to refuse the pleasure and embrace the pain. There's something while I was practicing mindfulness, I realized that I always do not accept the pleasure. Whatever it's going well, I just kind of try to push it away. But when something's really painful, I try to kind of, you know, dig deep and just kind of enjoy the pain. I don't know what's wrong with me, but once I started this mindful practice and I realized I have this this way I have trained my mind, so I try to untrain or give the different, while I was still doing mindfulness and I know it will help me, but the other time when I'm conscious what's happening, I try to use, especially the GLAD game, like as Bhante taught me in the other program, so that way it kind of helped me to see the like what I have at the moment and what I'm missing or what I have done wrong or what I have done right earlier. So try to compare and to be happy with whatever at the present moment. The other thing I've tried to do is I have done a mistake, so what? I said something wrong, so what? What? That's not the end of the world. I try to accept I have done something wrong because I have that perfectionist kind of behavior, the character. I want to do everything in a certain way. If it doesn't go in that way, there when I get stressed and then be a bit upset and all those the accumulated pain thoughts coming to me. So I just want to share that with when Narosha talk about that topic. And then Bhante mentioned about that the top rankers also have this kind of problem. But recently I was observing the people around me, and one thing I noticed, it doesn't matter what state you are, like either highest rankers or the lower ranks, what occupation you do, everyone have some sort of friction. I find it's like it depends according to person. Like sometimes the person next to me is worrying about something, I think, oh, why she's worrying about this thing, there's nothing for her to worry, but that thing for her, it's a very big thing in her own world. So we like, it's kind of theory of mind, we can't judge a thing according to my experience, I guess. And I have seen it on my own self as well. Like sometimes when I'm so busy, or like I have the big job, I'm or like something very big, like everyone can see these things, kind of something very important I am focusing. But when I don't have really important jobs, maybe I'll worry about very small thing, and I keep worrying that friction is there. So with my mindfulness practice, I notice all those things. But I just want to share that with Arusha's statement, Bhante. I appreciate if you can give me some advice. To
yeah, definitely my... something is wrong. Yes. So that's how, you know, certain things are problems to us. For somebody else, it might not be a problem, right? So this understanding, this is important. They have their unique perception of the world. Based on that, they have their unique problems, right? So for something is not a problem for me, something is problem for you. That's natural, right? But still, the idea is to continue with the practice. When you continue in a way that you know that you are more like a worrying kind of a person, you come into terms with that. I don't think that the personality will change. What happens in meditation is that you come into terms with it. Acceptance. That's why you are saying, oh, okay, I said this, so what? Right? That doesn't give you permission to say anything and, you know, next moment say what. But still, you are accepting, you are coming into terms with your own personality, right? So that's important. That's what happens in meditation. Otherwise, we think that we want to become a new person. We want to, you know, change. That's not possible. Changing oneself, changing others, those things are not possible. We are who we are. From birth, we are who we are. So in the meditation is all about come to terms with it. Right? Accept that I am this worrying type of person. That acceptance will give you, you know, more freedom, release in your mind. That you know that you are worrying type of person. You are not worrying about that personality. That's helping, right? So that's the change that will happen. That's the change that will happen. And with meditation, with continuous practice, you can see this acceptance is happening. Initially, you can use those things like, you know, glad game. Those various tools are there. It will allow us to see good things when the bad things come. So those are exercises, you know, our way of, you know, thinking, way of reflecting. So it will help us. But in long run, what true meditation is all about, you are accepting yourself. I can see that progress. You are saying that I am this type of a person. I worry a lot. I say these things. So what can I do? That very acceptance is important. That very acceptance will let you be more free and relaxed in your mind. So that is the very idea. We are who we are. I don't think it's possible to change us, change that behavior. Instead, coming to terms with it. That's the very idea of the practice. Try and see when you progress more and more, you'll start to see, you'll start to come into terms with it more and more. And you'll feel much more relaxed, comfortable.
Yeah, I'll try, Bhante. Thank you very much for your practice.
Thank you, Rajika. And thank you, Bhante. So with that, I will draw the Q&A part of the session to a close and hand back to Sonali.
Thank you, Arusha. Thank you, Bhante. With that, we will be concluding the session today. And I'd like to give merits to Bhante for your continuous guidance on this program. And we hope you can improve your progress in your meditation as well. And along with that, we'd like to thank Bhante Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero for initiating and giving the idea to initiate this program. We hope he will also share these merits with us. We also like to thank all the organizers, the ones, especially the ones behind the scene who's running the program, and all of us who are hosting, all the other hosts as well. And also all the participants today. Thank you very much for the people who are participating today, as well as the people who participated via Facebook live stream and the ones who will be watching later on as well. And with that, we will remind everyone that the session will be running next week in the same time, the same fashion, with all the times exactly the same as we had today. And I will now... We will have to end the session.